says you have the bad chair.
Did you change chair?
No, I didn't. I'm just guessing. Don't ever let the Marconi people sit on your chair.
I think they took it.
You let the Marconi people set your stool, it all goes down here. Why, hello. It's 1:18 after the hour of 11, and it's the month of March in the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming by, making it part of your listening day. We are live, I say, from the plushly appointed, yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970, Solid State Radio. It is Monday, and welcome to day 12. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. If you'd like to be part of today's program, and why wouldn't you? My God Almighty, why would you not, huh? Huh? You'd have to be mad not to. You can email us with your comments, your questions, your clarifications, your kvetches, your what have you. It's 503-733-2970. You can email Rick at rickemerson.com. Thank you for coming along. Hope you had a satisfying and productive weekend on all fronts and in all ways. Did you hear that thing? No, of course you didn't. I'm looking at Tim, who's still wearing his sunglasses. Why, hello, Tim. Are you ready for a close-up?
No, I left my other sunglasses walking my dog. Well, my regular seeing glasses.
your seeing glasses.
So these are my prescription sunglasses.
These seeing glasses, given by ancestor, used to look far into the sky. All right.
But these are real glasses.
I know. They're prescription sunglasses. It just looks great. This is like every time that when we were at the other building in Coin, TV would occasionally come up to photograph us for some of their evening nonsense after they gave up on it. When Coin, there was that one window of time before they figured out that we were just a bunch of a-holes and it was pointless to try to get anything sensical or serious out of us. But because we were only 50 feet away, we were right upstairs from Coin TV, they just decided we were sort of like the slutty girl who lived next door that wasn't all that pretty but was always around and was just put out. And so they were like, well, there's some news story happening. I guess we'll go talk to the people at AM 970. Let's go. I guess they're always home. Let's go. And they would come into the studio and just like a finely oiled self-promoting machine, the first thing that Tim would do, and you wouldn't even notice it. It was just such a silent little oiled sidle of a maneuver. The hand would go into the bag. The bag would come out of the hand would come out of the bag, and on would go the sunglasses.
Fantastic. And here they are for the next couple days.
Excellent.
Someone take my picture.
It's 503-733-2970. It is Rick at rickemerson.com. If your email. All right. Well, it's Monday. Here's what's coming up. You know it's a Monday because my inbox is full of gruesome and grisly deaths. Yeah, that we will be discussing today, including this one. This is a phrase I've never heard before, and I'm willing to bet that you haven't heard it either, unless you're one of the five or six people that sent this to me. Neighbors react to... this is from Houston, Texas, where life is cheap. Neighbors react to alleged sleigh grilling. That is S-L-A-Y hyphen. Is a hyphen the same thing as a dash? Don't answer that. Don't stop calling now. I don't care. Email me the answer if you must. Don't call about it. Ever since that ketchup catsup thing, I just live in fear of those little throwaway tossed-off questions. They come up and they consume hours of airtime. Anyway, neighbors react to alleged sleigh grilling. I'm just going to read you this one opening sentence. Who am I kidding?
Sleigh grilling?
Listen, it sounds like something Santa would do. For at least this is Dateline Houston.
That's honestly the first thing I thought.
Sleigh grilling. Why come here, little elf? I'm just going to read you just this opening sentence here. And then the rest will have to wait until later. Because otherwise we're going to get terribly sidetracked. Dateline Houston from the Associated Press. This comes for at least 2 days. Neighbors at a city... You know that phrase, well, it's none of my business. It didn't concern me none, so I just kept to myself. This is that incarnate. For at least 2 days, neighbors at a city apartment complex noticed an acrid aroma, black smoke, and leaping flames coming from two barbecue grills on the balcony of a second floor apartment. Whatever could he have been grilling? What, neighbors at the Red Oak Place apartments wondered, was being cooked at the unit where 27-year-old Timothy Shepherd lived? What indeed, residents? What indeed? Well, what was indeed? And you know he's no good because his middle name is Wayne. Timothy Wayne.
Timothy Wayne Shepherd. What was he burning at all hours for days at a time? We'll tell you later. Right there, I'm going to quote that story. Going to put a pin in it, as they say. Get back to it later. What else? Britney Spears, impossibly. You would think by this point, would you not, that we would have run out of things to talk about with Britney Spears. I mean, you would have thought that Britney Spears is like a car that gets down to where the whatever the thing that comes on that says, you know, warning, you are about to run out of, wizard needs gas badly. The thing, like I got it in the Ford Focus where it comes on and says, it's the little gas light. Next to the gasometer, as Jen Lane would say, comes on and he says, "You got whatever." What I don't even know how much longer I have when that comes on. When the little gas light comes onto your car, do you guys have that in your cars? The little gas light that comes on when you're almost out, when you're on fumes, Sarah?
I think so. It's never come on though.
Tim, mine never goes off. Even after I put like $12 or $15 in, it's still on.
Sarah's never goes on. Yours is always on. Mine is on sporadically. We have all the bases covered on everything in this program. I don't even know when that light comes on sometimes, and I'm looking in your direction, wife of mine, who never, ever... My wife, I know I'm getting off the point early on with stories about my home life, but I'm just saying this. My wife is like when you're a kid and you'd have that carton of milk or the bottle of water in the refrigerator. And the deal was, of course, whoever finishes the bottle of water has to refill it, right? So what would your brother do? Your worthless a-hole brother would drink. There'd be like an eighth of an inch, because as long as he could sort of make this Jesuit claim that he hadn't finished all the water in the bottle, he felt that he was absolved of all responsibility for refilling the bottle of water. That's what my wife does. As long as the light hasn't come on the car, she doesn't feel like she has to put any gas in it when she's been out driving. I guess that's like the device. But what she does, she has some Jedi-like power, though, to drive the car exactly, literally to within like hundreds of feet within the light coming on. So I'll get in, I'll turn on the car, and I'll back out of the driveway. I haven't gone two car lengths, and the thing, bing, and it comes on, and it scares the hell out of me, because then you picture yourself being gang raped by Hell's Angels in the middle of the I-5. You know what I mean? Why? Well, I don't know. He ran out of gas, and then we found him like this, with his innards everywhere. Scotty, you don't have 50 miles. Don't be retarded. You don't have 50 miles. 50 miles is like, that's many. I don't even know how many gallons that is, but that's a lot of gallons. You have no 50 goddamn miles. I thought it was like an eighth of a mile. Or is it an eighth of a tank? See, I don't even know what it means. Whatever. Anyway, Britney Spears is like that car, though. Britney Spears, I say, getting back to the point an hour later, Britney Spears is like a car that hits that point where the gas light has come on, and it's like you are beyond fumes. You're on the memory of fumes, and yet the car just keeps on going. The car just keeps on driving.
I really didn't believe that what you showed me would be as good as it is.
This Britney Spears picture that we have today, and there's a story that goes with it too, but really the picture is the money shot. The picture is the payoff here. We'll get it posted so you can see it, but let me just assure you that it's the worst picture of her ever taken, and I know that that's saying a lot. I mean, we've had greasy Britney, puffy Britney, look at my vagina Britney, which was strangely unarousing and unerotic in any way. I don't really know why, but it somehow just came out that it wasn't exciting or sexy in any fashion or form. The picture we have today is worse than all of them. Because there was sort of a rock later that you didn't think she could get below in terms of trash, but she really buckled down and gave the extra effort. We have Anna Nicole Smith, the final chapter today. We'll get to that. What else? We have Gene Simmons was on... He was on AM Northwest on Friday. The thing he was promoting is sort of, it passed because it was the Family Jewels show that was on last night, although I think they're repeating it all week. So we have some audio from that. And the audio, the Gene Simmons audio, not that you shouldn't give it all away in advance, it's not really all that interesting even for Gene because he's such a salesman. He's just sort of doing his talking points. It's great because of how uncomfortable he clearly makes. Who is the female anchor on AM Northwest, do we know? Is anyone
the
here?
The blonde chick? I don't know.
I don't know any of the local people. The blonde chick. That narrows it down.
I know
Rhonda on K2.
I do not believe Rhonda is a blonde woman.
No, but she's the only one I know. Because we've spoken about her in the past.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about all this. This is Rhonda Shelby?
Yes.
I forgot about all the Rhonda Shelby unpleasantness in the past. Were you here for that?
I was here when you.
That wasn't me.
Story was spoken about.
It wasn't me.
And then there was the other lady who used to be on the opening of E! True Hollywood Story, but I can't remember her name.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They would show her for like half a second.
Because I guess her boyfriend or husband's a producer of that.
They would show her in the opening credits of the E! True Hollywood Story. There was like a half second shot of some woman who was some anchor chick here in Portland.
Well, whatever. So we'll play the. We have some Gene Simmons audio.
And then later in the week, I'm going to try to. My friend Chris is going to hook me up with this audio for this Gene Simmons, this like college lecture motivational seminar he does, which is apparently awful. So we'll get to that. We have Katie Couric. I never really thought that I would be saying this. I went out of my way to get Katie Couric sound from 60 Minutes, which is a show that I haven't watched, I mean, voluntarily, in like 15 years. And yet, as Tim noted, it's still number one. It's kind of like an 80s share.
Yeah.
I guess it's because there's a whole class of old people out there whose televisions are just stuck on that channel.
Well, it's kind of like the Simpsons of CBS.
That's really true. It was its own Grandpa Simpson. Man, did you Dana Carvey on Dennis Miller this morning? Man, I got to tell you, that's a guy who also needs a show, Dana Carvey. God damn, that guy just hasn't. I mean, maybe this ages me. I mean, maybe this just makes me like an aging Gen Xer. But, you know, you talk about impression. That's a guy who's just for the longest time, and in some ways, for some impressions, is still the gold standard. He did the best Andy Rooney this morning that I've ever heard in my life. Anyway, so we'll talk. We got to Katie Couric. Just speaking of grills, she's putting John Edwards on a grill this morning. Last night on 60 Minutes, just about him and the wife and the cancer and the hey. So we got all that. Top five, Peter Carlin from the Oregonian and so forth. It's 503-733-2970. Joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. How you doing?
I am well.
All right.
How are you?
I'm fine. Let me ask you this.
Oh.
Let me just, hold on, let me find out what time this would have been.
Oh, God.
No, I'm just asking. Hold on. Hold on. At 6:48 p.m.
Yesterday?
No. I think this would have been, this would have been yesterday. Were you drunk? Had you been drinking? And let me guess, and I would like to now guess, we're going to play an exciting game.
I looked at my call log. I didn't call you.
You sent me a text, or a tix, as the kids say.
I did.
You sent me, well, I think that answers everything I need to know right there. Do you remember sending me a text message yesterday at 6:48? The great thing about technology is now you can just prove things that before would have simply been half-truths or allegations. Do you remember sending me a text at 6:48 p.m. yesterday, Sarah Dillon?
No.
Or Sarah Dian, as my phone. I have corrected the spelling of your last name like 1,000 times in his phone, and it just resists. The phone will not give an L to your name. I don't know why.
My friend Kyle and I went for... We decided to do an impromptu pub crawl.
But
it started as a... We do Sparks in the Park. We'll go and have a Sparks and hang out in the park and look at all the little families. And then we decided to ride our bikes all around town.
I don't think you can drink Sparks in the Park. I'm pretty sure that's against the law. Not that I would squeal.
Well, you
put it in a paper
really
bag at least?
No, not even yesterday. We usually do.
Do you drink it out of the can right there in the park?
Yeah.
Okay, good for you. Well, the thing about Sparks is it looks like a soda. So you can do that and probably get away with it.
Yeah, nobody... Yeah, nobody bothers, yeah.
So you were drinking Sparks, which is a alcoholic energy. It's a caffeinated malt beverage. And then you did what? What time did this start that you were drinking the malt liquor in the park yesterday?
Like 1:30 in the afternoon. It was a beautiful,
that's
sunny day.
Fantastic. It's a beautiful day. The sun is out. The birds are singing. Let's drink a lot of alcohol in public.
Oh, man.
All right.
Yeah. So
let's put ourselves into an alcoholic fog so we can't register any of this or remember this wonderful afternoon.
Well, we had a lot of fun. So we were riding around and we would have like a drink at each place. And then we'd get on our bikes and ride across town and go to a different place.
That sounds like a great idea.
It was fun.
Uh-huh. So this is at 1-something that you started drinking malt liquor in the park yesterday. By 6:48 p.m., how you've been drinking for about 5 hours? What would you have been drinking? You don't have to say where if you don't want to, but what would you have been drinking by 6:48 p.m.?
At 6:48, I don't even...
If you don't remember, you can just admit to it.
I don't remember.
Okay. Now, do you want to know why? I'm asking.
Why?
I'll come back to it. I am going to, this is a little tease inside the tease. I'll come back to why I'm asking this question, because I have deduced something. There's something that I figured out about you. And so we will, I don't mean like it's a dark secret. I'm saying there's a mannerism of yours that I have discussed, that I have realized it yesterday.
Uh-oh.
This is something I've sort of figured out. Tim Riley is working on the following.
That's it? We're not even going to talk about the message or
no,
anything?
No, we'll get back. I'm going to let it just hang there for a second. Tim Riley, who is resplendent today in his glory and with all that hair and his glorious prescription sunglasses, working on the following stories for your edification today.
Unfortunately, all my best lines, and I wrote this before you started,
have vanished.
You've stolen all my best lines, which were most of my headlines.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
What would they have been? Let's pretend that we're hearing them for the first time.
I'll throw in a couple new ones. Just a little variety.
I feel like an ass.
A family is outraged after a homeless relative's body sold to science before their ass. Mount St. Helens could erupt for a century. And here we go to the two stolen headlines. Is this what Southerners mean by barbecue? Only in Texas would somebody be killed, dismembered, and cooked on a grill. And Katie Couric grills John Edwards on 60 Minutes.
Oh, now I feel bad.
I'm sorry.
I spent 45 minutes.
You're a bad person, sorry,
I don't deserve it.
I think we all think alike at certain points.
I should be killed. Hold on.
Or grilled.
I'm making a couple notes to myself here, but other stuff that I want to get to before we break here. All right. And then we've got people calling for no real definable reason. It's 503-733-2970, by the way. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. All right. People are emailing about your drinking of sparks. Well, let's take these, and then I'll talk about what I've deduced about Sarah Dillon from her text messages.
Well, can you tell me what I sent?
No. Alexander, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey, Rick. By the way, that Dennis Miller Show, fantastic.
Thank you, sir.
Excellent addition. Second of all, I'm the furniture maker who called in about the stools. And
because of the Lycus thing and the whatever and the ha-ha. Yeah,
yeah, it took me a while to come up with the joke, but I think I heard an intercom promotion.
Now, wait, hold on a second. Now, is this, did you call up, you were a guy who made stools.
Right. Well, okay.
You have 4 chances to come up with an appropriate joke, and you were never able to really do it.
Actually, we switched it around, and it was the music played for you.
Okay, but were you ever able to come up with an appropriate joke?
Besides the different woods being used for stools.
But, I mean, do you have a joke now?
Yes, I do.
All right, now, I'm going to give you a couple seconds to think about it. Hold on. As we always do, I'm going to let you ponder whether or not this is a statement you want to make on the air. Hold on. All right, there we go. All right, Alexander, are you still ready to go forward with the stool joke?
Absolutely.
All right.
Okay. Now, first of all, I just want to say this is not CBS Radio. This was an intercom promotion that I heard promoted.
Are you making this up?
Maybe.
Uh-huh.
But it was, hold your stool for a stool. Can you hear me in the back?
Yeah. Okay, that actually makes it worth the... All right, thank you.
Oh, paper bags, not plastic. You look cooler with paper bags. If you don't believe me, watch any movie. They always have paper bags.
And with a loaf of French bread sticking at the top. Always,
yes.
Always, every... God damn it, what was I just watching this weekend? It was the freaking Sopranos. I was watching The Sopranos, and there's some sequence where Carmela comes home from the grocery store, and she walks in, and what has she got? She's got that thing. It's like some rule in Hollywood that every time you come back from the store, you must be carrying first of all, not only does no one ever carry a plastic bag from the grocery store, no one ever carries it by the handles. Everybody carries it in their left hand, curled up as though it was a baby, and then there's always half of a loaf of long, skinny bread. No one ever buys, like the football-shaped bread. No one ever buys, like, a loaf. No one ever buys, like, that
ciabatta bread that's sort of like, you know, the sort of flattish and sort of oval shaped. They always buy the long, skinny French bread that sticks halfway out the top of the bag. Always, always, always.
That and also either celery or carrots with the leaf still on poking out right next to it.
Just the yellow is just infuriates me. All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Let's see. This person has, you know who's on the AM Northwest. Why, hello there. All right. Well, it would have been a nice conversation. Thanks. Thanks for not staying. All right. Here's what I have deduced, and we'll get to some more of this here in a second. Here's what I've deduced, though, about Sarah Dillon.
Oh, boy.
So you sent me this text message. Because we got Listener Party 10, about which we have some announcements. Well, we have Listener Party 10 coming up, which is April 19th, about 4 weeks away. April 19th, 7 p.m. at Barracuda. We'll be talking more about it. We get this whole thing where we get sort of a history of the Rick Emerson Show and our listener parties. We're asking people to drop off memorabilia, or if you've got merchandise from the show, or shirts, or homemade bumper stickers, or just rare photographs, or anything. We're asking people to drop all that stuff off. And so Sarah and I were trying to get together and put our heads together and figure out, you know, some of the other logistic things with the party. We were supposed to do it on Friday, I think, and it didn't happen. Or this weekend we were supposed to get together. Anyway, so I send Sarah this email and I say, hey, why don't we just meet after the show on Monday to talk about the listener party and what we're going to do? And I sent, I think, a very polite and succinct text. Do you remember getting my text?
No.
This would be yesterday around 6:30. I sent you a text and I said, no time to get together today, I think. Do you want to have lunch after the show?
Yeah, lunch after the show. We should get an itinerary down.
Okay, so that's what I say. And that was when?
5:40.
So this is what I get an hour later. From Sarah Dillon, 6:48. And the key word here is the third one. Sounds good, champ. See you tomorrow. Sounds good, champ. Champ.
Did I really?
I did. It was right there. Sounds good, champ.
Oh, my God.
See you tomorrow. No, and there's, like, no punctuation. It's, like, all... It's all just, like, one long E.E. Cummings sentence.
But did you need, like, smiley face emoticons and exclamation
point? No, here's the thing. I have no problem with the message as such. Here's the only point I'm making. The point I'm making is I have deduced the three faces of Sarah Dillon, and they have to do with how drunk you are at any given moment. Here's what I figured out. There is... Sarah, when you are, like now, when you are presumably not drunk, I have only your word to go on, but I'm assuming now that you are more or less sober, and so, and when Sarah is sober, it's sort of a mixed bag. It's sort of, you know, in other words, your mood is dependent upon circumstances and context around you. It's a good day, you're fine to be around. If it's a bad day, maybe you're a little grumpy, whatever, as are we all. Your mood is, you know, it goes with the changing circumstances of the day. Drunk Sarah, and by drunk, I mean end of the night, 10 o'clock, the listener party is winding down.
6:48 should have been my ending of the night. Instead, I decided to stay out and make an ass of myself.
Drunk Sarah, which is standing outside Dante's at around 11:30 at night, like waving your hand all flamboyantly around with one of your long, skinny cigarettes, really, really plastered. That Sarah is the nicest person on earth, and is like wants to hug everybody, wants to be everybody's friend, wants to share all of her thoughts, is gushy and glowy. In between normal Sarah and really nice Sarah lurks the land of snippy Sarah.
Snippy.
And snippy Sarah is Sarah when you are not completely plowed at the end of the night, but you're not sober either. It's just when you're kind of tipsy. Tipsy or just beginning to be really drunk Sarah is snippy Sarah. And that's the...
Did you think that was snippy?
That's the... It's not snippy. It's not like it's mean. But see, sounds good, champ, because I can totally see
you... I think
I
was just trying to be relatable.
Because I call people champ all the time. That's the way to, because that's the way to talk to me. That's the, that's totally the, because I can hear the finger cocking and the, that's good, champ. That's where you're not taking me seriously at all, and you're, like, you really want me to know that you're not taking me seriously
you
in any way.
You have overthought this. You're such a girl.
I don't care.
All I wrote was, sounds good, champ.
I don't care. I'm not saying that I have a problem with it. I'm just saying that that's, I finally crystallized in my mind the three phases of Sarah at any given point. And it's sober, which is, you know, kind of, again, sort of a mixed bag. You never know what you're going to get. Really drunk, which is really nice. And then there's the middle ground, which is sort of this sarcastically lovable bitchiness that's in between. That is the only point I'm making. All right.
Now, that one final point here, and then I understand that we have Ed McCarthy coming up this hour, by the way. He has switched with Lisa Goddard. So okay. We're going to have Ed McCarthy on to talk about this Anna Nicole Smith thing. We've got more calls. We've got this Amy Northwest thing. We got the Katie Couric sound. We got the top five. I got this thing about the grill. We got all of that. My final observation is this. In fact, if I could just...
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
If we could have PA Scotty Jacob of the...
Are we going to talk about his drinking habits now?
Yes, we are. Hi, Scotty.
I don't drink.
Uh-huh.
And he doesn't smoke either.
All right, so, Scotty... What were you doing at 11:34 p.m.? this is going to be a new feature. Where I'm just going to—I don't even need to go out and have a life. I can just interrogate people about what they were doing when they sent me text messages.
Rick, how about next time I send you one of those messages, just send me a nice one that says "Go home."
No.
Before you
there, would you listen? No, because Snippy Sarah won't listen to those things. That's the thing. You know, daytime Sarah might, and really drunk nice Sarah would probably listen. But tipsy Snippy Sarah doesn't like to be told what to do. She doesn't like anybody to be nice to her.
Okay, Jim.
What I'm saying, you know it's true, okay. Too. So, Scotty, what were you doing Friday night at 11:34 p.m.?
Well, first of all, get that light out of my face.
I don't understand.
What?
Interrogation room, right? Oh, well, my jokes are way up there. When you guys get older, you'll understand them.
Yes, it's a rarefied wit that goes over my head.
So in 14 years, I'll understand it.
Here's what I got from Scotty Friday night at 11:34. Just the worst spelling, punctuation, just all, like, not no punctuation, but, like, wrong punctuation.
Yeah, but who punctuates on their text messages?
Like quotation marks in the middle of words for no reason. Some chick ran over bushes, crashed wall, dodged wild peacock in the burbs. Is this like Alger Hiss code or something? Are you trying to tell somebody how to, like, where to go pick up microfiche? I don't understand what this means.
Oh, it's just
how drunk were you when you sent this?
I might have had an adult beverage or two.
I don't understand what this message means.
Well, can you say it again?
Some chick ran over bushes, crashed wall, dodged wild peacock. What does this mean, Scotty? And why did you send it to me at 11:30 on Friday?
Because as the night went on, the funnier the story was.
I don't understand what the story is. Why have you sent this to me?
Well, I got home on Friday after the show.
Uh-huh.
And the police, fire department, ambulance, everything was on my street. And we're in the suburbs, and we're kind of on an offbeat street where nobody travels. And it's a 20-mile-an-hour street, 2025. And I get there, and there's a car on my neighbor's lawn, basically, that it had crashed into his retainer wall. It ran over a bush of mine that's probably 15 years old, so it's got to be an expensive bush. I miss my bush. I voted for Bush, by the way.
Stop it.
Anyways, so I get home, and she took out the bush. She took out the big, tall phone. What is this?
Sorry,
like
Brad.
A phone pedestal?
You have a phone booth in front of your house? This is a really bad idea. I don't know why I decided that he was going to be able to tell the story cogently and, like, in a colorful fashion.
What was funny about it is the fact that she had stopped because a peacock, which is never in our neighborhood, was trying to cross the
street. You have peacocks wandering through your neighborhood?
Apparently so.
Are there, like, do your neighborhoods, and this is a question for Tim as well. Here's the thing. My wife and I were bicycling this weekend, and we were bicycling up to Mount Tabor, and, you know, you have to go through that kind of... It's sort of, you know, that sort of older, sort of the ritzy, the kind of area of Southeast, you know, ritzy by our standards. By our standards, anyway. Where's the, you know, like all the really old houses up towards Mount Tabor, like that look over the reservoir and everything. And I swear to God, there are like trees and like certain kinds of air that they get in those neighborhoods that we don't get in the rest of Southeast. Like we're bicycling through there, and it's like plants I've never seen before, and it's things that bloom and that are sort of like pink and the air is suddenly fragrant, and there are animated, you know, cartoon characters running around everywhere and landing on your shoulders and singing to you. It's just, I don't understand, how is it that you have peacocks in the suburbs? Do they import them?
They must have.
Peacocks can't be indigenous to Portland. Are peacocks...
And I've seen them running loose before, too.
In the Bethany area, yes. Over there.
I saw one sitting on a fence. Have you ever once seen a peacock in your neighborhood? And it's not like you guys live in the country.
Somebody must have literally picked up this peacock and hauled it in the back of their truck bed.
I mean this sincerely. First of all, where are peacocks from?
And here we go.
I mean this sincerely. I wonder if peacocks have been brought in or are brought in and set loose in the suburbs.
Well, they do beautify the suburbs.
That's what I'm saying. It's some sort of aesthetic improvement the people in the suburbs get that we in Southeast Portland are denied.
I don't believe it's aesthetic because they do nothing but eat stuff and do their duty all over the place. And it's not very pleasing. I mean,
well, whatever. All right.
But to make a long story short, a gal stopped. She's like 16 or 17, has her license in this BMW, I guess, on our street. And to save the life of the peacock, right? She stops her car. Another car is behind her and impatient and honking because they don't realize that there's a peacock there. And there were three girls in this BMW, and they all get out of the car, and one of them's 15, never driven a car in her life. When she hears the car behind honking as the driver that got out is shooing the peacock away, she decides, hey, I'll move the car out of this guy's way so he can get through here.
I have no stories in my neighborhood that ever involved the phrase getting the peacock out of the way. Ever. That's like saying that you were wandering through your neighborhood and like a mastodon just wandered in front of you. What happened? Well, there was a coelacanth in the nearby lake or whatever. This just doesn't.
I see wild prehistoric birds in the protected area around my house too that you don't see anywhere else. They look like they go back to the dinosaurs.
That's that you're not kidding either.
No, I'm not.
There are special. I swear to God that wealthy areas in Portland. I don't mean for this to sound like a big class screed.
You're welcome to visit any time.
There are no fences or gates. You can roam around all you please.
No, the fences are implied.
The fences around your place are understood, Tim. I don't mean for this to sound like a big class screed, but I'm pretty sure that this is true.
Oh, the peacock is the favorite bird of the goddess Hera, or Juno. It goes back to the days of the pharaohs of Egypt and 14th century Europe.
Thanks, Tim.
Well, so it is the bird of
Egypt goddesses. Okay. Well, we have to break, I guess. Well, we'll come back. We'll talk to Ed McCarthy inexplicably about Anna Nicole Smith for what I hope is the last time ever. Ever? Ever?
No, we still have to figure out the
father. Yeah, and they figured out the goddamn
father. And then we'll be done.
Later on, we have the AM 970 Noon News Hour. Lisa Goddard, Peter Carlin for the Oregonian. Top five, this sleigh grilling. And more about Rick Emerson Listener Party 10 coming up April 19th. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson. Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for coming along. 503-733-2970. Now I'm going to find this picture of Britney Spears so we can post it. 503-733-2970. We'll get Tony here in a second and some other people calling about peacocks and so forth. Coming up at noon, we have the AM 970 Noon News Hour. Later on, Steve Kastenbaum, Lisa Goddard, Peter Carlin from the Oregonian, the top five, and so forth. 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome down to the Rick Emerson Show from the South. CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy from the CNN Center. Hello, sir.
Rick, good afternoon to you.
How are you, brother? What's up in your life?
Good. Not much. Just a little series of doctor's things. We're back and forth here, but we were able to get out of that office quickly today. That was good.
Let me say, are you ready to never use the phrase Anna Nicole Smith again? Are you ready to be done with that?
Yeah, but you know that's not going to happen because these conspiracy theorist guys are going to be saying, you know what? We got all kinds of connections here. She was taking the same kind of stuff as, that's what's going to happen. You know, that's what it's going to be like.
Somebody told me, now I don't know if this is true or not, somebody told me that she was we're putting the thing in front of the other thing, whatever that phrase is. We're putting the shoe on the other foot or whatever the hell it is. First off, the official And believe me when I say that we are so ready to be done with this story and never have to talk about this woman again. But we'll talk about the autopsy, we'll talk about the conspiracy thing, and then we'll talk about when they're going to do the DNA thing, which is when we can finally just kind of stick this in the hole forever. So the autopsy's out. She died of what?
Well, multiple. Apparently, they call it an accidental overdose. But basically, it was pretty much a mix of a lot of things that she'd been taking. And she was injecting herself with a lot of stuff. That's why they didn't originally find, you know, what they were looking for with that first autopsy, where they said, well, you know, we're not finding any prescription pills in the stomach. But apparently she was doing a lot of injectable stuff, and, you know, she was doing growth hormones and all kinds of things. They had, the list of drugs, I mean, it's unbelievable.
And was this stuff that she had legally, or was this stuff that she was, like, getting over the, I don't know, over the black market or something, or, I mean...
Yeah, seemed as though it was prescribed, and of course, you know, those prescription pills that they found in that room, in that hotel room at the Hard Rock Cafe down there, and hotel and casino down in Seminole, Florida, they found prescriptions with her name on it, and of course, Howard K. Stern's name on it, so... You know, she was doing a lot of stuff, and, you know, it's just a matter of time, I guess, before that would catch up to you.
Is it true that they, I hate to this, this is so horrible, she had, and I'm quoting now for the story, she had an infection in her buttocks from repeated injections, that's how you want to go out as a sex symbol, an infection in your buttocks from repeated injections of drugs.
That's where the infection was, and that's one area that they looked at, and they found out that she had taken, I guess, antibiotics, and that had kind of cured it. So that really wasn't a cause, but she was running the fever. They think the fever was probably caused by something else, and you know, there's also the theory that reused needles could have you know, come into play there, and you know, they weren't sterilized.
Yeah.
So a lot of that stuff. The other thing I thought was interesting, they mentioned today that the nurse that was there gave her Tamiflu. You remember all the controversy about Tamiflu in Japan?
Is that the avian flu thing?
Yeah, well, yeah, that and regular flu, but they had the Tamiflu, but you know, people were dying in Japan with this thing. Wow. Kids were dying, and I guess some people could maybe get adverse reactions to that. They didn't really play that angle up a lot, though.
All right. Well, so this is okay. So this is probably not going to change anything. And then, do we know when this this DNA thing with the dads is going to be done, so we can just quit talking about this forever?
Well, we don't. They've got to, now. The next thing now is the inquest into her son Daniel's death. So they're having that over in the Bahamas.
I thought that didn't he die like
tomorrow? That's tomorrow.
Didn't he die like 100 years ago?
Seems like it, doesn't it?
I mean,
but it wasn't really that much. Before she did, so.
Are they doing the inquest into his death because her death was so weird, and so they figure there's something to dig up with him?
No, they're looking at it, looking at both angles, you know, to see what might mesh here, you know, because it was just the timing. It was the timing. He died, and then all of a sudden she died, and you know, and then there was somebody saying she took some stuff that, you know, kind of like what Marilyn Monroe took, and, you know.
It's
a bizarre story.
All right.
But you know what I realized today through that whole news conference today? When he turns a certain way, Dr. Joshua Perper, the medical examiner,
yes.
looks a little bit like Don Rickles.
It's true. Now, I hate to ask this, but the time is running out. The time is running out to make these observations. Has anybody in the press corps asked him what the deal with his skull is?
No, they haven't.
I mean, I don't mean to be crass. I really don't. I don't mean to be crude and to whatever, to dwell on something that may be superficial is none of my business, but it's the thing that everybody wondered. Like, from day one when they saw this guy on TV, they looked at it and they go, he's got a head like a peanut. I mean, you just have to. That's just what it is. I'm not trying to be insensitive or callous. It's just true.
You're never insensitive or callous.
It looks, I'm saying what the people are thinking of McCarthy, and it just seems like he's either got something extra attached to his brain. You know it's true. He either looks... He looks like his brain has either got a big extra section to it, or his brain had something removed from it. His head is either curvy or bulgy, and you know that that's true. And I just wonder if, off the record, anybody has ever gone, hey, what's up with your skull? Just to ask, just so we can all move on from it.
But I'm telling you, he tilts it a little bit down, a little bit to the side. Don Rickles, there you are.
Don Rickles, if you squeezed him just right. All right. Ed McCarthy, my friend, enjoy your Southern afternoon, and we will have speak with you soon.
Thank you so much, Rick.
Thank you, sir. There you go. CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. Fantastic.
Oh, he thought you were a hoot today.
I am a hoot. I'm a hoot every day. I'm just saying, there's just a thing that I want to have addressed. I don't have to talk about it anymore. All right. 503-733-2970. Apparently, what is her name? Her name is Helen Raptus. Helen Raptus is the woman who is the co-host of AM Northwest, and she's a redhead. She ain't not a redhead. I was watching her this morning.
I just thought she's blonde.
She's totally blonde. Helen is the co-host. This is the woman who was on AM Northwest. Friday.
Like,
do you have it over there?
I have the DVD.
All right, we should play this here in a second so I can get it done. This is Helen Raptus. We'll play this in a second. Helen's the co-host of AM Northwest. She's a redhead. Helen's co-host is some fill-in guy. Now,
he looks like a nice fellow.
Now, go ahead and play. This is Gene Simmons on AM Northwest Friday promoting his upcoming episode of Family Jewels, which aired Sunday.
Okay, wait to hear that story. All right, but first, rock star Gene Simmons exposes himself again on the second season of Family Jewels. Now, this time around, it's all about plastic surgery, a possible pregnancy.
Is it sticking?
Yeah, the lost kiss costume that puts an appearance on MTV.
I have just the audio if we want to do that.
Why don't you come here for a second?
If it keeps sticking,
come on here. This is a really important thing.
This is him lecturing him.
If I find my outfit, I'm going to be embarrassed.
Will it let you skip forward? Can you fast forward
from here?
We'll get back to where they interview him on AM Northwest. Okay. So this is Gene. Now he just had all this plastic surgery done. Him and Shannon Tweed.
Good morning, Gene. Now, I just got to ask you, did you find the costume? Were you able to go on MTV? Did it all work out?
Eventually, we found it.
Now,
what happened was...
Pause this for a second. Now, are you looking at him there?
Yeah.
Now, I can't tell whether he looks really good or not, because they've got him in this orange room, and he's underneath a bunch of orange lights.
Well, it's weird, and his hair looks kind of weird, and he has these big sunglasses on.
That's not hair.
I know.
that's not hair at all. And he doesn't take the sun. Now, I understand the deal. He's one of these, not a junket. That's not the word. Maybe he's one of those things where he's sitting in a chair, and he's doing one of these every day, all day, to promote the show. So he talked to K2, and then 2 minutes later, he was on the camera with some other news organization. He did those all day long, and I understand that, you know, whatever. He had sunglasses on because, after the, you know, you get worn as the day goes on and so forth, and you don't want to look fatigued and tired. But I can't tell if the plastic surgery has been successful or not, because they got him really far away from the camera. And let me just say this. You never, and this is advice for both men and women, if you ever want to look good, like you're going out with somebody on a first date, you want to make a good impression, you go someplace where it's either yellow light, orange light, pink light, red light, anything like that, you just look the best you have ever looked in your life. There is just, and this is not a, I have received no consideration for this. This is not a paid endorsement. There's a restaurant called Lovely Hula Hands, which I've talked about before. It's a great, Aaron and Jen and Laura and I have gone there. It's a great place. But the great thing is you go in there, and the walls, I think on the inside, they've moved, so maybe it's not the case anymore. The walls were like sort of this reddish pink, but all of the lights were yellow. It was almost like those lights you put on your porch to keep the gnats away. And man, I never wanted to leave. I looked fantastic. And contrast that to like when you go into our bathroom here and it's just that harsh white fluorescent light. And man, you just look like you Indiana Jones having been dragged behind a Nazi truck for 3 miles. I mean, just look terrible. So he looks pretty great here, but I think some of that may be deceptive. Okay, so just go ahead.
Paul and I were in New York to do the MTV VH1 Hollywood Parade, not Hollywood Parade, but Halloween Parade, going down, you know, Midtown Manhattan and on 6th Avenue, and there were hundreds of thousands of people there, and some specklehead, that's a very sort of endearing kind of word that I use every once in a while.
Specklehead work.
I'm Woody Woodpecker.
Lost the baggage, you know, that the outfits were in, so
yeah.
we were 4 hours away from getting up, and you know, the floats were ready. They were, the police were called double time. It was a big operation, and we had to get in makeup. And so I guess this guy was on his coffee break and forgot to bring it in, you know. But you'll see the whole thing, including this is my new face. I had a facelift.
Yes.
And so did Shannon.
So this
and
is what he's
way,
on it to promote.
Look great.
You look gorgeous.
Yeah. You look gorgeous.
Now listen,
like a hot Swedish boy.
Okay, back up for a second. Can you back up about 10 seconds?
Yeah.
Okay, now, I don't know which of these observations to make first.
To bring it in, you know. But you'll see the whole thing.
And I realize that this is, as they say, this is no fair on the audience because it is radio and you're not able to see this. Now, maybe you saw AM Northwest on Friday. Maybe not. I don't know if I have a way to. I don't know if I have sufficient technology to put this on my website. I'm sure that technology exists somehow. I just don't know how to do it. I don't know which to do first. To comment on the really bizarre things that the male co-host starts saying. Or, and just to play them and let you hear them, or to ask Sarah this question. Do you know who the male co-host is?
I don't think so.
Okay. Then we'll do this. We'll play this. As we're playing this, listen to the bizarre comments that this male co-host makes, and then keep asking yourself while looking, who is this man, and do I know him? Go ahead.
Do I know him?
Go ahead and play this.
Okay.
You'll see the whole thing, including, this is my new face. I had a facelift,
yes.
And so did Shannon.
And by the way, you look great.
You look gorgeous.
Yeah.
You look gorgeous.
Like a hot Swedish boy.
Like a hot?
You're like a tot Swedish boy. You're like 14 years old. It's a gorgeous
boy. I didn't know you preferred that.
You're like 14. It's a gorgeous look.
Oh,
you're
sweet Lord.
It's a gorgeous look. Like a tot 14-year-old Swedish boy. Not just a tot Swedish boy, a 14-year-old Swedish boy.
And the word tot in front of a Swedish boy is the worst thing ever. Okay.
All right, continue this now. This is on AM Northwest on Friday.
They have of all forms of beauty, Gene.
In that case, you'll be popular in jail.
So why did you and Shannon decide to do this plastic surgery together?
Okay, Sarah just said it. Sarah just caught who it is.
Are you freaking kidding me?
Sarah just caught who this is. That co-host is Big Sook from The Fan, where we used to work.
That looks nothing like him.
It doesn't look anything like him at all. It looks like they took a scimitar and cut him down the middle and just kept one half of him. I mean, that's a compliment. You hear about the television, the adding 10 pounds. Something sucked about 100 pounds out of that guy.
That guy was enormous.
And he had I mean this in simply a physical way. He had a large head. He was a man with a, he was just a big guy. Physically, he's just a very big man, very tall, barrel-chested, big boned. I know that sounds bad. Big boned. Big head, big
and like total jock, like, you know, like dirty jock guy, like big, all the other.
Just a big pumpkin head, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I know it sounds like I mean that in a bad way, but he looked like a football player.
Well, he was, and he just wore sweatshirts.
Yeah,
it was always there.
He was a football player, big ass, burly football player. Look at him there on AM Northwest. He looks like he weighs about 80 pounds. How weird is that?
That's freaking
And apparently he likes 14-year-old taught Swedish boys, which is what... And the fact that he was a football player and now a sportscaster, I think. I guess he's still on there. I don't really know.
I don't know.
The fact that he's a sports broadcaster makes that even funnier.
A 14-year-old taught Swedish boy?
Let's continue. There's a little Gene Simmons here.
Well, it just sort of happened. I really didn't think about it at all because I'm delusional about my looks. I actually look in the mirror and I actually go, God, damn, you're a handsome guy. It's not fair that God has given all... I mean, I'm really sort of infatuated with myself. If I could do me, I would. And
is that season 3 of Family Jewels?
Well,
that
it
happens?
Might be. And we'll bring some Swedish boys for you in season 3. We want to make everybody happy. But the main thing is that the producer of our show came up and said, I'd like to have a plastic surgery and we'll film it. I'm going, are you out of your mind? Because first I thought it was unsafe and stuff like that. Then they showed me the statistics. It's a reasonably safe operation. Nothing really happens. And I just went, sure. It's like jumping off a building, bungee jumping.
Now,
yeah, what do you want to do?
They'll get to this part. And again, I realize this Gene Simmons who was on AM Northwest.
Please don't say they keep referencing the young Swedish boys.
No.
It's starting to make me uncomfortable.
No, they don't. It was on K2. And we want to thank Kristen, by the way, who hooked us up with this. We'll talk about this. So this is the Gene Simmons Family Jewels thing. Now, they'll show him Keep playing this because there's something I want to ask about.
But this will chisel this.
Because
you know
he's
did.
There with Shannon
they
Tweed, and he's had two kids.
Took out some gobbly stuff, and they went into an incision here.
You skip forward a little bit if you want. Yeah, he talks a lot about the plastic surgery, and I swear to God, he looks like a Buddha. When he gets out of this plastic surgery, the Gene Simmons, when he gets a plastic...
You've got two great kids, by the way.
Thank you.
And how did they handle your new look?
Have you seen him there?
Oh, my
Sophie,
God.
Who's over here, who's 14,
okay.
5'9". Oh,
would you please stop this? All right, now is those are his kids. That now, is that his daughter there, the blonde girl? There's, well, we should continue here. We should go forward. This is a Gene Simmons talking about this.
And Nick, who's over here, who's 18 and 6'7". Yes, you heard correctly.
You know, you love to do that. I've seen it. We watched
She is
the
so
show.
Happy.
Wow.
Helen Raptis is the perkiest woman I've ever heard.
All the time, you introduce young clerks, you'll say to a young clerk, my son, who's 6'7", you know what that means. And you do that to him. Does he ever, he gets embarrassed by you sometimes, doesn't he?
That's
voice
our
is
job.
Like having
We're supposed to embarrass our kids.
That voice is like high fructose corn syrup.
Good job of that.
Does he say anything else?
He goes forward, and I realize that we're playing audio from the television here, but it's worth it just for a couple of things. A, because this woman is so incredibly perky. B, to hear Big Soup, the sportscaster, talk about finding 14-year-old Swedish boys gorgeous. And then... There's some, now I'm running the risk of just sounding, say, incredibly creepy here, because there's some, and I really hope that it's not his, like, 14-year-old daughter, because there's some girl that appears in one of these scenes, who's, where you just see her, and you go, like, whoa, who's that really hot girl?
Is it... What?
I don't know. Let's see here. Let's
thank you. Is there pressure on your kids being the kids of Gene Simmons, or are they just, you know, normal kids when they're out of the house?
Well, they're very unaffected. You know, they're both charming and really terrific young people. They happen to be our kids, but also misbehaving is not allowed. Whatever happened to the notion of love your mother, fear your father? So this whole permissive society has gone right down the toilet. The idea of negotiating with young people is lunacy at best. Number one, they have no life experience, or they don't have a clue what they're deciding. Number two, it's not based on any experience. Number two, there are no repercussions for bad behavior. And number three, I'm a mean son of a bee. Do not mess with dad.
Well, you know, that's really not true, because you are a big teddy bear with them. When I've watched the show, you're very sweet with them.
There are lines. The lines are, you're not allowed to smoke, drink, get high, or cuss. You must do well in school. You must be kind to other people. Other than that, I don't care. I'm a big picture guy. So if you want to wear your hair green, not an issue for me. If I catch you once, just once, drunk or high or smoking stuff, you're in the desert in a tough luck camp.
See, that's your next project. You've covered film, TV, books, everything. You need the Gene Simmons School of Parenting now, like a boot camp where parents bring their kids down there to your house and you teach them how to parent.
It's very incisive you saying that, because Shannon and I are writing a book now, How to Raise Your Kids, and it's called Love Your Mother, Fear Your Father.
No.
Okay, we got to ask you this, because I'm curious. Shannon wants another child.
Oh, this is
every
it right
woman
here.
Wants children. That's what you're designed for. When you wake up, you say, when you're born, you say two things. I want to go shopping, and I want to have children.
Now, okay,
that's
pause it right
do.
Here. Now, who is the blonde girl in the middle? Please tell me that is not his 14-year-old daughter.
No, I think the brunette girl's his daughter.
Really? God, I hope so. I really sincerely hope that's the case. Because I was watching this now, to be fair, I was just sort of watching it while I was doing
that
other things.
That girl's not 14.
I hope not. Because,
you hope not?
I hope not, because, well, I mean, I know that...
God, you just sound creepy sometimes.
Oh, not like Big Sook, who apparently lusts after 14-year-old Swedish boys, because they're taught. But...